Good morning. Greetings to all those who are listening in via the webcast. For those of those who parlez-vous français, bon samedi. For those who speak Spanish, feliz sabido. And for those of you who communicate via ASL, and I hope I'm doing this right, happy Sabbath. All right, I got the thumbs up. Okay, great. So today is, as we will hear about a little bit later on, a special day for some anniversaries, but I would like to also point out one more. It's not a nice round number, but today is my mother and father's 51st wedding anniversary. I was talking to Mom before services today and said it was a beautiful spring day, much like today, so happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. A few years ago, I was studying through a section of Scripture, 1 Timothy 3. You can go ahead and begin turning there if you like. And I never really thought this to be a controversial or hard to understand Scripture, but the more I read some commentaries on it, the more I found out some people were a little bit confused. 1 Timothy 3 is where we find the qualifications for elders and deacons, and it's in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 and 9 that I would like to pick up here and focus in on. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money." It's pretty straightforward. Verse 9, "holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience." I thought, well, that seems like a little interesting phrase. It's not one you run across every day. So I began to study this. And we realize, I think we all understand, that while this section of Scripture talks about the qualifications for deacons, it's not exclusive. These are attributes that, of course, we all strive to have. But with that in mind, I would like to focus, to delve into a little bit, what exactly is the mystery of the faith? What is the mystery of the faith? We'll start by reading from some of the religious commentaries that are out there. This first one regards the word mystery in 1 Timothy 3, 9 is this. It says, "In the New Testament, the word mystery is applied ordinarily to the sublime revelation of the gospel and to the incarnation and life of the Savior and his manifestation by the preaching of the apostles. In conformity with the usage of the inspired writers of the New Testament, theologians give the name mystery to revealed truths that surpass the powers of natural reason." And goes on to define a couple types of mysteries this way. It says, "A relative mystery is a truth whose innermost nature alone or whose existence alone exceeds the natural knowing power of the creature." Now, all that's kind of a little wordy for my taste. But in essence, what it's saying is that it's something you can't just understand quite on your own. As we know, it's something that you need the Holy Spirit to understand. So it's nothing we disagree with thus far. This particular website, which is from www.catholic.com, goes on to define, "An absolute mystery is a truth whose existence or possibility could not be discovered by a creature and whose essence can be expressed by the finite mind only in terms of analogy. For example, the Trinity." Now, I guess on some level, I suppose I'd have to agree with that because I've always found it a mystery how anybody could believe in the Trinity, but that's another message. Gill's exposition has a similar thought on this view, or on this particular verse. It says, "The doctrine of the gospel, called the faith, because it contains things to be believed. It proposes Christ as the object of faith, is the means by which faith comes, and is unprofitable without it. It is called the mystery because it is of divine revelation, and could have never been discovered by human reason, and now is revealed, the modus, or how things operate, how they work, of many things contained in it remains a mystery. Several of the doctrines of it are mysterious ones, particularly the doctrine of the Trinity." Still others have another view of this verse. This is from Bingle's Nomen commentary. It says, "Deacons were often speaking of the Christian faith as opportunity offered. In the discharge of their duty, and even though they should not speak, still were bound to attend the duties of their office and go to the church with a holy mind, with the desire to show a good example." So this is more of a deacon should be seen and not heard sort of a mindset, which I wonder what Stephen would have to say about that. So according to this verse, not I nor anyone who wasn't an ordained elder should ever be even speaking to you. So while there are some portions of these definitions we could agree with, we can't agree with any of them completely, particularly in using this verse to justify a belief in the Trinity or any other doctrine that we can't prove from Scripture. With that in mind, then, what is the mystery of the faith? Well, as we often do, as we always do, rather, in the Church of God, let's let the Bible interpret itself. And let's go on down to verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. See Paul concluding, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, of course talking about Jesus Christ, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This isn't some ununderstandable mystery. Paul lays out very clearly that this is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at a few other places in the New Testament where Paul uses the word mystery. It comes from the Greek word mysterio, by the way. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1, we see Paul's talking about the gospel. It says there he's talking about the testimony of God. Going on down to verse 6, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So it's the same root word used for mystery here. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown makes this comment on this particular verse. It says, whereas pagan mysteries were revealed only to a chosen few, the gospel mysteries were made known to all those who obey the truth. Ordinarily, we use the term mystery in reference to those from whom knowledge is withheld. The apostles use it in reference to those whom it is revealed. It is hidden before it is brought forward, and when it is brought forward, it still remains hidden to those who are imperfect, or you might say those who are immature without the Holy Spirit. So this mystery is not something that can't be explained. It's something that wasn't yet revealed and hasn't been revealed to everyone, but certainly is revealed to you and I. So what then are some of the details of this mystery? I'll reference it. I won't turn there for sake of time, but Romans 16, verse 25, 26, Paul talks about the revealing of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. He gives us a little more detail over in Ephesians 3, and we will turn there. Ephesians 3, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 3, start in verse 3. It says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ throughout the gospel. Here we see a very key component of the revelation of this mystery, that the preaching of the gospel wasn't for the Jews only, but to the Gentiles, to all mankind. One more verse over in Colossians 1, just a couple pages over. Colossians 1, verse 26. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here we see that this mystery isn't just the revelation again to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well, and that it involves Christ living in us. So what then, how can we summarize then this mystery of faith? I think taking these three points, the preaching of the gospel, the plan of salvation to all mankind, whether Jew or Gentile, and that we must have Christ living in us, we can summarize as one thing. And that is the overall plan of God. Repentance, baptism, Sabbath, the holy days, salvation for all mankind. This might seem like a relatively rudimentary view for most, and I hope it is, frankly. But it's important for us to view this and understand it, and beware how others will try to twist Scripture to make it support their own beliefs. Of course, this is something we must never engage in. Paul has a bit to say about that over in Romans 1, and won't turn there. So then, having established what the mystery of the faith is and what it is not, let's look at the second half of 1 Timothy 3, verse 9. What it says there talks about holding this mystery in a pure conscience. Barnes Notes puts it this way. It says, a mere orthodox faith was not all that was necessary. For it was possible that man might be professedly firm in the belief of the truths of Revelation, and yet be corrupt at heart. In other words, it's not just memorizing doctrine or scripture or fundamental beliefs, but it's actually believing them and having Christ live in us, as we saw in Colossians 1. Think of it this way. I have a question for you. Could you use the first half of 1 Timothy 3:9 to say, well, things are a mystery, you know, these doctrines we believe are a mystery, so we're just going to kind of sweep it under the rug, and then use the second half and hold that in a pure conscience? I couldn't. In conclusion, brethren, 1 Timothy 3, verse 9 is not a difficult scripture to understand. It's not a place to sweep under the rug some doctrine that we can't justify and understand and prove through scripture. It's not a secret knowledge revealed only to deacons or other ordained. However, it is a mystery to those who have not had it revealed or had their eyes opened through the Holy Spirit. And while we do not know every single detail of God's plan, we do understand the mystery of the faith as the overall plan of God, the revelation of Christ and salvation for all mankind. Knowing this, each and every one of us can hold this mystery of faith in a pure conscience with Christ living in us.